The following programming is sponsored by Polish American Radio. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
Power is going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs.
I am your future.
We have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are
national leaders. AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM. And as you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and also northern Delaware on the radio itself. However, you can listen from anywhere in the USA or the world simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link every Wednesday between 11 a.m. and 12 noon. Now, you can also listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to all of our broadcasts simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Well, as always, I ask that you contact family members and friends and invite them to tune in, send them a text, an email, however you contact people. Let them know that we are here and ready and able to welcome you. We had some party time out this weekend, and as you can tell a little bit in my voice, it was a lot of outdoor stuff, and woo la la, that wind was unbelievable, especially here in the southeastern Pennsylvania area and down the shore. It was pretty rough. I first of all would like to say thank you to our panel members. Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, who's on a special assignment today. And we'll be hearing from Mark again next week. Larkin Conley, our national small business advocate, who is also on a special assignment. And we have today with us Bruce Bassett-Powell, a SCORE associate, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. And I'm Michael Blihash, always happy to be with you here. You know, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spreading the word. And also, this is an opportunity for me to say thank you to the many newspapers that publish my weekly commentary and to the radio broadcasters that really go out of their way to spread the word about the Buy American Made campaign. And they tell me that it's not very easy to get stuff to put on their radio programs because there's not much out there. So whatever they get from me is like, you know, something that they enjoy putting on because I try to be as positive as possible about it. And if you have comments and suggestions, I'm encouraging you to send an email to me at michael@americanworkersradio.com. And as I say so often when I am on other radio broadcasts or here, I love to use your suggestions in my commentaries and during my broadcasts. I just think it's wonderful. Well, today is March the 13th. Well, it could be a lucky day for all of us. However, as long as it's not Friday the 13th, I guess they say Friday the 13th could be a kind of a rough day. It's a superstitious thing. And I think most people consider it just another day on the calendar. I always tell people to enjoy themselves and also support one another because time never stops moving. So we have to look out for ourselves and also the people that we have around us, our family, friends, and all those that we love. You know, we all talk about time moving very quickly, and the clock doesn't wait for anyone. And we all see that the clock never stops. So my compliments to all of the organizations, the newspapers, the radio programs, and the individuals that are going out of their way to support the Buy American Made campaign in a public way. That continues to help us to rebuild America's industries and restore jobs for our fellow Americans. You know, so many people told us that they enjoyed the various discussions that we had about restoring the trade programs in our high schools. Well, some people did a very good job and contacted their elected people. They contacted their school boards. They talked to various people in the schools where their high school kids go to. But there is one problem. Everyone says now that the programs have been out of the schools for so many years, it's going to be hard to institute them again, reinstall them in the high schools. They've taken those classrooms and made them into other areas and reading rooms and computer rooms and everything else, but the trade programs are less of a concern. So I'm glad that that's being said, because it shows that people are contacting their elected officials and their school boards and also teachers when they take some day at school for some kind of a program or whatever. It's good to talk to the advisors and all that are present to let them know how you feel. Hey, this is what we're supposed to be all about. And many people are very disturbed that the people in Washington have not focused on restoring the trades. You know, when they say people are, we need so many people in this field and that field and all, I encourage everyone to look at the debt clock on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. That's not put out by me or anybody else. It is done by the United States Census Bureau, who tracks everything that's going on. And as you see, in 20 years, the amount of people working 20 years ago is the same amount of people working now, 161 million, no change in 20 years. It's just the fact that our population has gone up by 45 million new people. And that's unfortunate, because without new jobs, we're really going to be lost. And it also, by supporting America's businesses, more Americans have the opportunity to earn a living, to get their funds and support their family, travel, do something special, buy nice things to look and feel good about yourself. But we don't have that mentality in Washington. It's like they're living in some kind of a small world that they don't see what's happening outside of that catered mentality. Look at me, I'm this, I'm that. I look at them and I say, you're not doing your job. I'm sorry to say, you're not doing your job. You're not representing me or any of the people that I know. I know that some of the people in the cities and states do a better job. And part of that, Bruce and everybody listening and Henry, is the fact that they have to work within a balanced budget. In Washington, they just keep borrowing money. And you may have heard the reports that came out over the weekend as they approved another part of the budget. There were so many of these perky programs, special things for bus stops and all this craziness, which Adam Andrzejewski, who has been a guest on this program before, had also brought up over the weekend. And, you know, this is the sad part of it is we don't have the people willing to say, you put things in categories. The most important thing we're going to fund, number two, is education. And number three, if we have extra money, we can fund some of these special projects. But you can't continue to threaten people that you're going to take their food stamps away if they're living in poverty or they just had some bad times. You not can't say that, you know, you're unemployment is going to cut down after a certain amount of time. And unemployment in America continues to be a problem, mainly because we lost skilled workers. Now, some people have told me that when they speak to people where they work, and some of them work in manufacturing industries and all, that have said that we are going to have to go more automation because we simply can't find the people qualified to do the job. That's very unfortunate to hear. Now, somebody made a comment to me yesterday at the sandwich shop. It was really Wawa, but I don't want to say that. But and the person said, you know, Michael, they know me from the radio program, and thank you for letting me know this. I enjoyed talking to you, and thanks for tuning in. He said to me, the people who work the sandwich counter are the best people to approach to be part of your staff. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. He said, because they look at that computer and they look at what needs to be on the sandwich. You know, they keep things moving. He said they become very, very dependable. And I said, yeah, that's exactly what a school principal told me a couple months ago when they said when he was a youngster, he said they had all these trade classes and the people walked out of the class and they were really with it. They had discipline. They had timing. They had put out the stuff that you're going to use, put the stuff away. It's the same thing. So this guy was really sharp. And I thought to myself, that's very, very interesting. I have to mention that. A good thing I remember. That was nice. He said, that, believe it or not, the people on this sandwich counter are excellent because they really keep it moving. And they like to be in that, you know, that hustle bustle type of movement. And that's what we're missing in the United States of America. And I hope that we'll be able to change that. I'd like to stop now and say hello to Bruce Bassett Powell. Bruce, what's new with you, guy?
Nothing much. I've just been reading some statistics and things. It looks like non-farm payroll employment rose by 275,000 above the average. I think employment's increasing quite well at the moment.
Yes, I hear that.
Certainly in construction and manufacturing.
Yes, that's disappointing. I've heard that same report. Well, this is the time of year that they normally bring in a lot of the seasonal workers from Mexico and other countries. They have that special visa for 7 months. They come now, and they're usually here through September. Now, with the migrants coming in, there was some talk about 2 weeks ago that possibly we may have to, in order to get them some way to have some little funds on their own, allow them to become seasonal workers, just like we bring in seasonal workers from other countries. Well, that didn't go over so good with the seasonal worker group, you know, the organization that brings in the seasonal workers, because that's a job for them, you know, making sure that so-and-so is going to be there and the date they're going to be there to do the work, the farm, the whatever. And I know that they're saying all kinds of things, but the biggest problem the American people are having with the new people coming is we don't know anything about them. Bruce, we don't know anything about these people. They come in, they learn few sentences. I meet with them sometimes. We brought some here to Philadelphia. The people have a couple sentences that they know. I need help. I need money. And I respond, where are you from? And they say, I need help. I need money. They only learn that, and they stand around these various places asking. And that is not good, because that means that they are not being welcomed properly. They have not been told that they have to go through intense English language. You know, Bruce, when, of course, you spoke English your whole life, but many of the countries that were coming to America for years and years and years, the first thing they impressed on the people is learn to speak English. You can do your other ethnic languages at home, but learn to speak English in public, because it's not good for you to not know what's going on. And that was a very good policy, a very good policy. You know, Bruce, even when you call places, they get on and they say, welcome to so-and-so. Then they say it in another language. And then they go back to English. Then they go back to the other language. I don't like that. I'll tell you why. That's not showing the people who are making the calls that they should learn English. This is America. Learn English. Learn to communicate in English. And those little statements that they make, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. I have some knowledge of those languages, and it doesn't make any sense. It's like you're greeting the people, but you're really not instructing them what they need to be and do in order to use the services that they're calling about. And if they didn't know what's going on, they're certainly not going to go on as they go to the next step to make transactions. It just doesn't make any kind of sense to me. But Bruce, what else have you been hearing? I know the seasonal jobs are becoming very big, and more and more people are coming, and some of the people are coming for the summer jobs, and many of the businesses are looking to the countries that send them dependable people to operate their businesses during the season of the summer season. And they know who can stay longer because the classes in foreign countries start a week or two later. So they want those kids to be here till after Labor Day. So they know all that. But now with so many migrants, and they're telling some of the people that it might be good for them to go to these resort places to maybe ask for help, ask for funds, you know, things like that. So this is becoming a very, very unfortunate situation, and it's really not being addressed by anybody. I watched the State of the Union, and I was hoping that this would have been addressed in the proper way. But it really was not done in the proper way. Did you find that, Bruce?
No, I thought it was an excellent speech.
I thought it was a good speech. Oh, no, he did good in the speech. Oh, yeah, he did good. Yeah. But he it was a campaign speech to me.
Oh, sure.
It was not a speech like, what are you going to do? Bruce, when you are going on a trip somewhere, you say, well, I need to pack this, 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 and this. He didn't tell us what we have to pack, what we have to prepare. Oh, no, he was in very good form on that speech. But I learned nothing but a campaign. And all the innuendos and all that are being used, and it's all a waste of our time. It's a waste of our airtime. It's a waste of our individual time. I want to know, Bruce, when you did something, you did it because you wanted to be a success. You wanted your business to be a success. He's supposed to be, or the maybe a woman in the future, is supposed to be our main cheerleader. Did any cheerleading get done during that particular State of the Union? No, I didn't feel that it did.
I thought there was. I saw there was a lot of cheerleading.
Well, cheers. Cheers from the people. But I didn't get an idea of what are we going to do to make businesses want to stay here in the USA. That's the biggest. It's the biggest thing.
Well, Biden does often say that he wants stuff made in America, and I think that he believes that. And
as a cheerleader, as a cheerleader, I want him to go and say that every day when he has an opportunity to speak to the general public. I am, as your president, am your main cheerleader. I'm asking all businesses that are thinking of moving abroad to contact the Department of Commerce and tell them why you want to leave to go abroad and leave our country and leave our workers behind. That's the kind of cheerleader I like. When somebody talks to me, I ask a lot of questions. And I ask questions that are very pointed at times. What exactly is it that you're going to do for someone? And many times, as I said on this broadcast and many others, some people promise a lot and they deliver nothing. After the swearing-in ceremony is done, that's on a city level, a state level, on a federal level. And then after that, they give you excuses like, oh, I can't say too much because my caucus leader would not be happy. Well, I didn't send you to Washington as my representative to obey a caucus leader. I want you to be able to tell your caucus leader what your people in your particular district need and deserve. And that's not happening. So that's why all these things that they're talking about in these special whams or whatever they call it, walking around money, America doesn't have any whams. Walking around money. Isn't that a great, you know, statement? Walking around. Bruce, how much walking around money do you have?
Not enough.
I'm asking everybody who's listening, how much walking around money do you have?
I don't have enough. Certainly not enough.
That's right. I know people who are very, killed by inflation, killed. All of us are killed. Every one of us are killed by this inflation. And yet the people at the top, the people we elected to go to Washington, told us what they're not going to do when they get there, how they're going to be representing, blah, blah, blah. I think I may have mentioned a particular person that was running for a major public office in Philadelphia stopped me last September. I was at an event and said to me, how did you like my campaign brochure? I said, well, I said, do you want honesty or do you want me to dance around? No, honesty. I said, I didn't like it. Why? Because I said, you told me that for 11 years you watched something happening in our Philadelphia Council. And you didn't say, I tried every year to take action about it. But you did say in the next sentence, as your future mayor, I will take action. What were you doing in council for 11 years? So she looked at me and her campaign aide and whoever the other person was looked like, what? And that's, you have to be sometimes honest with people. You have to tell them what's really not working. Every time someone asks me, why are we putting such focus on American made? I tell them, you don't realize that successful businesses, jobs, and a skilled workforce are all interconnected. A business can open. Mark can open, expand his operation in a dozen places. But if you can't find the skilled people, the salespeople, the people who really want to get out there and support the American Made campaign, it's not going to happen. And not only the American Made, I'm talking about the hotels that are welcoming people, the coffee shops, everybody that's out there. There are so many people that are trying to make something happen after the 3 years of the pandemic. I hear from people all the time, I'm looking like you would never believe to do something because I went into debt during the pandemic. They say point blank, I went into debt trying to hold on. And now, Bruce, you see what's going on. Because of inflation, people are stopping their spending. They're holding back more and more and more. I was in the ShopRite. ShopRite is one of our supporters, so I can say that. But I went into ShopRite, and I know the manager in the Northeast. And he said, yes, we do have a lot of stuff, but people are buying less. And I guess it's, inflation and the cost of everything rising. I said, yeah. And, the pie makers, the people who you normally buy during good times, a lot of them have backed off, sent their people. They don't send as much stuff because the stuff doesn't move. Now, it does move after 3 days when they put it on extra special sale. It does move, but it's already 3 days old, which is not bad for a pie as long as it's in a proper environment.
But there are other factors that come into play.
Tell me what they are.
Well, here in Texas, we've just had a devastating fire with hundreds of thousands of cattle have been burnt, and the price of meat is going to go up, whether anybody likes it or not. It's just the way it is.
Yes, Bruce, I agree. And that is a disaster, a natural disaster. It's a natural disaster. We're talking about, through the years on this broadcast, the disaster that our leadership caused in the United States at their poor leadership. They didn't say, we want a portion of our federal dollars to make sure that everybody is trained in the trades so that when the people retire, they're people to replace them immediately. And, oh, this is something, Bruce, and everybody, I have to tell you, this was really nice. In fact, I may even invite this school to come on. I mentioned this to a principal. I said, you know, about the trades coming back in the schools and all. And she said to me very nicely, she said, well, you know, Michael, I have to tell you, there are now a lot of these trade schools that are opening and expanding. I said, yes, that's very true. And I see them and I get emails and stuff from them. However, why should our young people go from graduating at a public high school to put in another year or two at a special job training program when they could have that when they're in high school at the expense of the American taxpayer who needs them to be job ready when they walk out of school? And she said, well, I understand, but you don't understand. It's not going to happen that easily. But she did give me a very good suggestion. And I think I'm going to make this suggestion today at the base of this wonderful school principal. She said, Michael, it should be up to the people in charge to say such and such a high school, Massbaum High School in Philadelphia, now has 1,000 students. Our goal in the next 3 years is to bring, even if we have to build more parts of the school, to bring that number up to 1,600 or 2,000 students. Because those trade programs are in that school. We had a number of other schools, Bruce, they closed down. Lack of students. But the students that used to go to those schools, some of them were bused from one school to the other, they're no longer there. So those students are left in the dark. One of our parochial high schools, our Catholic high schools in Philadelphia, Father Judge, has relocated a couple of trade school programs on their property so that those boys that go to Father Judge High School can go right next door into these job training programs. No bus needed, nothing.
That's great.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You've heard about those programs in the past where they would take the students from one school to another school for a day and they would go to those classes. Well, this principal said, Michael, those schools already have the teachers. They already have the system in place. To expand them is not going to be like reinventing the wheel. To expand them could be done in a very organized fashion. It's getting leadership, getting the superintendent of schools, getting the mayor, getting the council people, getting the state representatives, getting the governor of each state to say, wait a minute, we're collecting taxes for schools, we're giving the taxes to the schools, and yet we have no accountability. Accountability matters because employees are doing a job. People who are elected are there to lead the way. People are there to give instruction to the employees. That's the whole deal. And it's not been done because nobody has really been pushing it. When you look at America's census, the report shows us very clearly that every year America's population increases, but the number of jobs for working age and able-bodied Americans has not increased to the level of the growing population. And that's what you said, Bruce. You said the farms are growing, yet the manufacturers are not. That's not the way it should be.
Well, the manufacturing employment has risen quite substantially over the last year.
Well, Bruce, when you say substantially, how many would you say that is?
I don't know. I just saw the grid that showed it, and it was pretty substantial to me.
Well, here is something that...
In South Texas here, where we don't have enough workers. And that's a problem.
And it is. Now, Bruce, tell me, what type of workers don't they have enough of?
Anything to do with manufacturing. We've got some big plants here like Caterpillar who are constantly looking for people. There aren't skilled enough people to go there, I guess.
Now, let me ask you this, Bruce. Do you feel if those programs were mandated... I love when these people tell me the word mandated. Oh, I go wild for that. If those were mandated from the federal government that these trades must be available to a certain percentage of students who want to join those programs, do you think that would help the job situation in Texas?
I think it would be a very difficult job to get a bill like that out. It would help, yes, but I don't think there's much opportunity for a bill to come out like that.
Well, let me ask you, Bruce, you got my curiosity. That's why I like to go on these programs. Why do you think it would be difficult to get this type of proposal on the table?
Well, I think that... I don't know. I don't know how hand in glove some of the manufacturing companies are with the politicians. I'm sure the politicians want more jobs, but it's very difficult to mandate business.
Well, not mandate business, to mandate that the schools offer the programs. You know, for 35 years, foreign leaders came to America. I meet them. They come to America looking not for, not to buy buildings and stuff. They're looking to buy. A gentleman told me, a foreign group was in historic Philadelphia, maybe 20 people or 18 people came. And I said to the guy, maybe you'd like to invest and buy a couple buildings or something and come. And his response to me, Bruce, never leaves me when I'm thinking about this. He said, oh, no, we don't want to buy physical plants. We want to buy the businesses in the physical plants. In other words, they are here to take, you know, note of what businesses are ready to be sold, what businesses are on the market to be sold, and they want to take them back to their country. They're looking to expand employment opportunities for the people in their foreign countries. Now, America's national leaders ignored the transfer. I call it the transfer of jobs and industries out of the United States.
A lot of foreign companies want to keep the American workers that are there because they are productive, and they'll buy the businesses, but they don't necessarily want to take them anywhere else.
Well, that,
that's a good thing.
That's exactly right. However, as Larkin has told us on numerous occasions, yes, they want to buy up the industries, own the industries, and employ Americans. That's wonderful, too. But what about allowing the American investor to own a business? Let that be on the market. See, one of the things that's very strange is that when things go on the market, you have people already in place to go right over and say, well, we will be your customer for this because we like your product, we like your name, we'll buy it hook, line, and sinker. Well, that's taking away from America. No matter where the plant is located, the people involved are located in a foreign country. The people who benefit are located in a foreign country. They tell me, hey, Michael, when I talk to the America's national leaders, they say, hey, Michael, that's what it's about. We're living in a free country. It's a free market economy. You know, hey, get over it. I said, well, as you're watching as you're watching poverty go up, this is your thinking? I said, I think my thinking might be a little more in tune with what the American people need. The loss of jobs required all of the people in government to come up with a whole grand scheme of expanding programs for the needy. But they never talk about expanding programs for the people who are working age and able-bodied people, who could really go out and take those jobs, who can go out and do something positive to make those special jobs and industries thrive once again in America. I go out shopping for different things. I'm amazed. The tag Bruce, it could be Bruce Bassett Pal's name on it. And I look and in very small print, made in some other country, where Bruce Bassett Pal stuff was made here in the United States of America. And how did it get made somewhere else? What happened that this all turned around, and yet our national leaders are looking in amazement? They say, well, you know, this is part of living in a free market economy, Michael. You have to understand. And yeah, I do mention for some of these elected people, Bruce, to maybe come on and speak. And most of them say, well, I don't like to speak because, you know, our caucus would be speaking about that in their regular session. And why don't you contact the caucus leaders? If you contact the caucus leaders, now our program is one program. Other stations in the city have tried to get people, and it doesn't happen. They're just not available because no one wants to put anything on the record what they said, because that comes back to haunt them. You know, Bruce, somebody was telling me the other day, I think this is, everybody listening can certainly, and when you listen any time of the day, night, or afternoon, you'll agree with this. Sometimes people say, Michael, the internet and my cell phone has turned out to be my enemy. And also my easy pass to go over the bridge, because it tells everybody and it lets everybody know that needs to know where I am. If there's a problem, if something happens, you can call up and your cell phone will tell you what calls you made. Your computer, your history and all will let you know. A lot of times people clear their history, but they still can go and get that history. And if I looked at, Bruce, at for a product, and then I cleared it out of my history, 3 days later, I'll get on the side, on the right side, the advertisement screen, it will show me what I looked for 3 days ago when I already forgot about it. It's there to remind me, oh, yeah, you should do this or that. So these are the kinds of things that concern me. We're living in a free world, absolutely. But now everybody knows what you're doing, when you're doing it, and you know what your intentions are. So if you tell somebody, I'm on my way, I hate to tell you. They said something, Bruce, which was interesting. They've been saying that insurance companies now are asking for certain privileges to your car. Have you heard that?
No, I know there's a big shakeup in the insurance industry going on right now.
Well, there's something that they want to trace what kind of a driver you are. If you're driving over 70 miles.
They go to the police and they get, if you've had lots of tickets, that goes on to how much you pay for
your insurance.
For your insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't had any tickets ever, and my insurance still goes up. When I complain, they say, well, it's because, I've got an 11-year-old car. It's not likely to have that much value. But even though it's old, it still costs the same to fix it and all that.
Oh, yes. Bruce, you're telling a story that someone told me that was unbelievable. They apparently had some kind of difficulty with their transmission. The car was 4 years old. They just finished paying the car or whatever. And when they took it to the service bay, the very first thing the guy said, to get a new car. And the person said, well, wait a second. You just got it in here and, you know, within 2 hours, I'm sitting in a waiting room waiting, and within 2 hours, you're telling me that I need a new car? So the person said to me, what I did is I took it to not the dealer that sells the car and fixes the car. I took it to a transmission service. I got the transmission fixed. I'm driving the car and everything is perfect. So, I mean, it's everything is how you sell something. How you tell, in other words, what the person said to me, I should have gone in there and said, I do not want to be sold a new car. I want to know what it's going to cost me to fix this car, period, and get over it. Because every department, even cars are selling less than they did before because the prices went up. And, you know, the people in the state don't care because when the sales go up, the price goes up, the sales tax goes up, and everybody is, you know, benefiting in government from the circulation of those dollars. And that's really not what we sent the people to at various state capitals or the federal capital in Washington. That's not what we did, but because people are not speaking up at the level they should. Bruce, someone like yourself speaks up, and you know, someone like myself will speak up and give an opinion from time to time. But but the thing is, this is the problem. We allowed this to go on for so long, and that is shown the people in elected office. It's better just to stay in the background. Time passes. Things just move forward. And that's the reason we have what we have. Instead of those people having in their agenda that they have to come out to certain communities no less than 3 times a year so that the people in the community know something, then you talk to the community newspapers, they cover the story. That way no one can say, we had no idea what goes on with this elected official. But in many cases, I ask people, are there such meetings in your... No. We have an elected official running in this area of Pennsylvania. And someone asked me a question about that person. And I said to them, well, that's a state matter. You can go right to this particular elected person. It's not something I can get involved with. And I gave the person's name and they said, and they live 3 blocks where that person lives, and said to me, what was the name? Who is it? I said, are you a voter? Yes. I said, well, you elected this person. He's running for reelection on the primary ballot. And in November, he's running for reelection. I don't know the person. I never heard the name. This is what it is. They're not going out to the people and seeing what is going on. They got used to doing that, and they feel the hell with it. I believe every person is judged by what they do and say. More of our elected officials, our business leaders, and our communities, more to what they say and what they need. Officials, we have to watch over them for what they do and say, or what they don't do or say. This is a big problem. When you can't get an answer from somebody you're paying to do a job, you wonder, what is the story? What's the problem? You know, Bruce, when you go to get your car fixed, you want somebody to give you an estimate as to what it's going to be to fix. And you want it in writing. I love things in writing. Not long stories, but, you know, enough to let me know, you know, what it's all about. But a lot of the people, they just want to give you a lot of stories and they tell you, oh, when you come in, we won't be able to give you the full estimate because we don't know what will be happening when they open up this particular, when they open up the hood, they may find more problems or whatever. It's too many ways to finagle around and not enough ways to give you a proper answer. Actions always speak louder than words. Bruce, what else is new going on in Texas?
Nothing much. It's as I say, we've got these terrible fires. They're starting up again, actually, up in the Panhandle, which has been devastating. I think more money was lost there than in Oahu at the end of the day. But there's fire danger continues up there as we speak. And it's having a terrible effect on our economy down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can. Yeah. I've heard about them. I've seen reports on TV. And it is devastating to see that. I mean, we went through some crazy weather this past weekend. I was out at some outdoor events, and it was a lot of partying. And I was at the St. Patrick's Day Parade on Sunday here in Philadelphia. And it was just, you know, everything was wonderful. But that wind, when that wind stirred up around 12 o'clock on Sunday, I thought, wow. It was unbelievable. And then Monday, the wind in this area of the country, that was way, way up, 50 miles an hour wind. It was just unbelievable.
It all does damage.
And by the way, is that wind causing any kind of problem with the fires in Texas?
Oh, absolutely. It's the wind that is really responsible for how fast it's spreading. Mm-hmm. I mean, they pretty much let it burn out at the end of last week, but it started up again.
Well, you know,
so it's all about wind.
You know, Bruce, someone stopped me to tell me about to bring this up during the broadcast. I'm going to have to bring this up on once in a while. They said, Michael, the people in Washington don't understand. We live in a sovereign country. A place like the United States of America has the highest authority over the land, its lands and borders. International law defines sovereignty as having a permanent population, the territory, a government under one rule, the capacity to interact with other states and borders, but of course, be your own sovereign country. Now, that's been understood that America is a sovereign and independent country, but our look at what's happening on our southern border. We're allowing people to come in and do whatever they want. That's really not what the word sovereign country means. And that's something when people tell me, this is getting really bad, because not only are those people coming over the border, and when they come over the border to Texas or to any other place, Bruce, where do they go?
Well, Governor Abbott puts them on a bus and sends them to New York or somewhere.
I know, but they've been doing that maybe within the last year. But I'm talking about where were they going for several years in the past?
Wherever they could find jobs.
So they were working. Okay. They were working. Okay. That's, I hear all kinds of things. I don't like the fact that.
Work on farms.
I don't like the fact that people are just allowed to come and it's like getting all dressed up and having no place to go. Being in a tuxedo or whatever, and you have no place to go. These souls are coming over looking for a better life, and there has to be a better way for them to be treated. Now, I go to various places, and in fact, in the city of Philadelphia, we have some people, as I mentioned earlier, who are out on the street, and they are asking for financial help. And I see their problems. They don't know the language. They have really no place to go, And gentlemen told me that it's going to be better for these illegal migrants, because the warmer weather is coming. And so the governor of Texas put them on a bus and send them to Philadelphia. But what do they do once they get here? Who's waiting to receive them?
They stay in hotels.
That's the
government pays for. It's amazing. You know, the thing's a worldwide problem. A lot of people who are coming into the United States right now have tried to get into the UK and been sent back there. And so they somewhere find their way over to Mexico or somewhere and start coming up into the United States. I don't know how the heck they have any money to get there. But
now here's a question,
Bruce. Especially Chinese.
So the UK, they don't want any people just coming in.
No. Half of them drown on the way anyway. I'm not saying that humorously, but it's a fact. There's terrible stories of some boats capsizing and whole 25 people drown. It's just, you know, they are so desperate.
I've seen and I've heard all this in the last few years. It's happened for many years, people wanting to come to America. Here is another thing, Bruce, I'll add to this conversation. No one in Washington has addressed the real issue of coming to America. No one. For 150 years, you had to come to a legal port of entry. You had to be looked at to see if your health was, you know, would allow you to enter. If you had somebody who was going to take you and get a job. Most of the people who came for over 100 years to these places in Philadelphia, our port of entry at Delaware Avenue and Washington Avenue, in Boston, in Baltimore, and all the other, in Virginia, all these places where the people came, in New York, then they expanded Staten Island and all these places that they would, you know, bring in the people, and the Statue of Liberty was seen by all the new people coming and all. But the thing is, no one has decided what is the right way to allow new people to come to America. I've asked that to some immigration people, and they said it's by individual consideration. I said, yes, that's, I understand that's individual consideration. But how about people who are sick? What do they then do? Well, they're sent back. Is that in writing? Well, they, you know, don't know, they don't know what to, you know, give you an idea. What's C?
When you talk about coming to America, I thought Eddie Murphy had the solution to that.
What was that, Bruce?
The movie Coming to America.
And his solution was?
Comedy, I guess. It's a good movie.
Yeah, see, this is what Eddie Murphy gave more through that movie than a lot of our people in Washington. And if, from what I see, none of these people, Democrats, Republicans, or anybody else, is, you know, impressing a lot of the people, because it seems to be petty bickering takes top priority. But the real issues of the country, the future of our young people, the stability of our elderly, is not discussed in the proper way. Not discussed. And that really, Washington was chosen to be the place where all of that would be discussed. And yet it's not. It's working on budgets. But how do you get to an agreement on a budget when you really don't know what you're budgeting for? They say, well, we're depending on the states. Okay, then the states should be there testifying what they're using the money for, why they need the funds, what could be done better, and what help they could have from the people elected from their individual states that are going to Washington to approve those budgets. None of those things are being approved properly. Oh, no. I ask people, and everybody has, they must go to some kind of a class. Or like, what are you going to do to hide your, you know, answer? The answer is, I'm asking you, what are we going to do about the migrants coming to southeastern Pennsylvania? One person gave me a line, which was very good, and I gave them a line back. They said to me, well, that's what America is about. I said, yes, bringing everybody and their grandmother. I said, if you look at the statistics of America, more people are not born in America than we realize, because many people have been born in other countries and immigrated to America in search of jobs, new ideas in their life, new abilities in their life. That's fine. And if we need more workers in any field, we should be able to welcome those people, but have it documented the proper way, why we're bringing those people to America, as we did 50, 70, and 100 years ago. We need people to work in the industries. We need adults. We can't make a child 6 years old all of a sudden go and be in an industry. You needed adults, so they brought adults over from foreign nations, and that was the way it was. No, Americans can't continue to play these games. They have to start asking more questions. And that's, you know, Bruce, I want to say thank you for being here with us today. I want to take this opportunity because a couple things are going to be happening. Next Wednesday, we may have a special guest, and everybody should be back on again. Bruce and hopefully Larkin will be back, and Mark will be back. But I have to tell you, this Sunday is St. Patrick's Day. And I want to wish all of our Irish American listeners a happy St. Patrick's Day. And then Tuesday is St. Joseph's Day. And that's considered a Polish holiday. And so I want to wish all the Pats and Patties and everybody in the Irish and Irish Polish community a happy St. Patrick's Day. And everybody in the Polish and Irish community that's a Joe or Josephine, a very happy St. Joseph's Day. Until we gather again, I'll be here again on Saturday morning at 11 or next Wednesday at 11. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Tune in to rebroadcast anytime simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Until next week, Bruce Bassett Pell, our very best. Stay well and be happy, and God bless.
Thank you, Michael. Yep.